This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry in for Tanzina Vega. It's good to be with you. Now, we're going to do things a little differently today because The Takeaway goes to the farm. Now, for most of us, when we hear the word farm or farmer, we imagine a heroic version of rural life, perhaps most famously told by Paul Harvey.
God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
So you're listening here to Paul Harvey, the iconic radio man who brought America
the rest of the story
for more than 50 years. And Harvey delivered this speech, So God Made a Farmer, at the 1978 Future Farmers of America convention. And it reveals the deeply ingrained myths of our collective farming imagination.
It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk, and replenish the self-feeder, and finish a hard week's work with a five-mile drive to church. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
Mama, don't let them babies grow up to be cattle. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers as such.
But these agrarian myths began to crumble in the 1980s. Suicide rates spiked among male farmers as drought and debt and foreclosure forced thousands to sell family farms to big corporations. Enraged by the loss of this all-American way of life, country music legend Willie Nelson founded Farm Aid in 1985. Let's take a listen to Nelson talking with NBC's Harry Smith in September of 2020, just as Nelson was preparing for the 35th annual Farm Aid event.
He'd come out and we'd sit on the bus and talk and drink a beer or something and talk about things.
He was the governor, Jim Thompson.
And he was telling me how bad it was getting for the farmer, for the small family farmer. After he told me what he did and we realized how important it was, 21 days later, we had our first Farm Aid.
But even as Americans rallied to shore up family farms crumbling under Reagan-era agricultural policy, the stories of black farmers remained untold. The contributions of black farmers were not lionized in poetry. The losses of black farmers were not front page stories. And the collective efforts of black farmers to save one another were rarely heralded on the evening news. So in 1940, the year that my father was born, there were 682,000 black farmers in the United States. By 1973, the year I was born, there were only around 45,000 black farmers. In one generation, within our living memory, black people lost more than 12 million acres of land. And the new owners of what accounts to more than 95% of formerly black-owned land? Wall Street. No. Investment bankers are not putting in long days on the tractor. But as 2019 reporting from the Atlantic chronicled, multiple rounds of consolidation wrested productive acres from black farmers and transformed them into corporate holdings. So what does it mean that black Americans lost 12 million acres of land? Let's try to think about this in terms of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre, which we discussed here on The Takeaway last week. A detailed analysis from Brookings estimated that the destruction of property and business in that massacre resulted in the loss of at least $200 million in wealth. And the neighborhood that was devastated in the Tulsa Massacre was about 40 acres. So 200 million lost in 40 acres. So just consider the black wealth that evaporated with the loss of 12 million acres. Today, around 98% of farmers are white, and those farmers also receive the vast majority of funds allocated in the COVID-19 stimulus package passed under the Trump administration. But the American Rescue Plan, passed in March under President Biden, was supposed to be different. Included in the package was $4 billion in debt relief to black farmers and other farmers of color.
The Emergency Relief for Farmers of Color Act begins the process of leveling the playing field for farmers and farming families of color to help them not only recover from the devastation of these crises, but to give them the tools and the assistance to thrive after years of suffering.
That was Senator Raphael Warnock, one of the co-sponsors of the provision to provide relief to black farmers. He was speaking in March at an event organized by Acres of Ancestry and the Black Agrarian Fund. Now, months later, the USDA is only just getting around to starting that debt relief. And in the meantime, major banking groups have pushed back against the government's relief plans. Here's Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack in an interview with Roland Martin, responding to the bank's concerns at the end of May.
Frankly, I am surprised, and I'm actually, I think it's incredible that some banks have suggested, well, geez, if you pay us off, that may mean that we may not lend money in the future to socially disadvantaged farmers. I mean, seriously? I mean, it's just shocking to me that people would even make that argument.
Shocking? Perhaps, but certainly not unprecedented. Here with me now is Lloyd Wright, farmer from Westmoreland County, Virginia, and a former director of the USDA Civil Rights Office. Mr. Wright, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Mr. Wright, I want to start with this plan to offer debt relief to minority farmers. It was part of President Biden's stimulus package back in March, but it's only just now beginning to be implemented, according to the USDA. What took so long?
All of the farm organizations are asking the same question. We had hoped that farmers would have relief by Memorial Day. And for Memorial Day, they receive what I call a process. And that means that hopefully within the next week or two, they will get letters stating the amount that they owe the department. And then they'll have to send that back in. And at some point, hopefully during the summer, they'll get debt relief. I don't understand why it's taken so long. And we haven't gotten a good explanation, but they are busy developing processes. And that bothers many of us who are supporters of black farmers, and that we've had that experience before where we've been promised things and after long delays, we don't get it. And
can you talk to me a little bit more about the specifics of that, Mr. Wright? What other kinds of things have black farmers been promised that never came through?
Well, I mean, if we skip over the fact that we were promised 40 acres and a mule, but more recently, the Pickford lawsuit that was signed in 1999 promised black farmers that they would get compensation, debt relief, and priority for future programs, services. At the end of the process, and it took like 5 years to give them a final decision, out of the first 22,700 who applied, only 371 received partial debt relief. And during that process, many of them were informed by their attorneys that they did not need to make payments on the loan because it was going to be forgiven, because they had something in writing stating that. But at the end of the process, only a handful of them got debt relief and only partial debt relief. And many of the farmers end up losing land and their farms because the penalties and the interest had accumulated over that 5 years. So just because it's in writing, black farmers understand that that doesn't mean you're going to get it. And then in 2010, there was a process to try to do some debt relief for some of these farmers. And that didn't happen because we were able to get the House to pass it twice, actually, but we didn't get help from the department and the Senate never passed it. So you know, so more recently, there's been two efforts, and neither of them panned out. So this is the third effort. And we have more confidence in that. Most of us are convinced that the president wants this done, but we're still dealing with the last plantation. And they haven't, in 150 years, done much to help blacks. And they're not moving very fast.
And by the last plantation here, you're referring to the USDA?
Correct. That is correct.
So talk to me about the current Secretary of Ag, Tom Vilsack, who, of course, was also the Secretary of Ag during President Obama. And for many of us, we'll remember the moment when, apparently not knowing who the estimable Shirley Sherrard was, he relieved her of her position after a conservative website put out that very doctored video. So when Vilsack came back as the secretary, did that undermine confidence, especially given that you're calling USDA the last plantation here?
Well, I mean, fine, Shirley was just one of the many things that happened that was of concern to black farmers. Actually, a study indicated that blacks got less service and funding under the first Vilsack administration than we did on the prior Bush administration. And we were very concerned that we got almost nothing. So it was more than just fine Shirley. He surrounded himself primarily with all whites in his inner circle. He treated a number of blacks the way he treated Shirley. So we were, in general, we were concerned that he was coming back. Now he's saying all the right things at the present time, but we're still concerned about this slow process. We still got the same OGC, Office of General Counsel. The Farm Service Agency is the agency that has been known to discriminate against black farmers. Those are the two who are doing the work here on putting this together. And until a farmer receives debt write-off and the 20% for the taxes and have the lien removed from their property, we are not convinced yet. Although I think we are probably closer than we were with the last two efforts that failed.
Now, Mr. Wright, I want to also talk a little bit about banks here. We've been talking about the USDA, but Secretary Vilsack says that part of what's happening is that banks aren't too excited about this legislation. They say that they're going to be losing out on profits from interest payments. So when you have had to deal with these kinds of loans, and you just helped us to understand why this debt exists, what's your perspective on what the banks are saying here?
I think in a nutshell, they're being greedy in that the banks will receive 100% of the debt. For those banks that included early payment clause, they'll get that payment as well. Chances are the banks were charging considerably more than the department. These are guaranteed loans now, which mean that they are only exposed to 10% of the debt, and that USDA guaranteed 90% of the debt. So they had limited exposure. And then if you have a lien on the property, you almost had zero exposure. And then you can get between on operating loans or up to real estate loans, somewhere between 2% to 3.5% interest if you have a direct loan with the department. These banks are charging considerably more than that. So maybe they don't have someone lined up that they can turn this money over that they're getting ready to receive and get the same interest rate on it. I'm not sure what the problem is, but they're going to be made whole. They're not going to lose a nickel, and an opportunity cost is what they're talking about, in addition to the penalty. And the penalty or the early payment clause is designed to deal with potential losses that result from an early payment. So I think they're trying to be greedy and get paid more than they are entitled to.
Mr. Wright, there are some white farmers who've complained that that this action is actually a form of what they would call reverse discrimination. Do you have a response to that?
Yes. For the last 150 years, white farmers have received almost all of the benefits from the Department of Agriculture. And there was a report in 1982, the commission, a U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, that documented how the county committees and USDA was mistreating people of color, primarily blacks, and that all of the money was going primarily to the white farmers. So they've received almost all of it for 150 years. And now that we're getting ready to give crumbs to some extent to people of color, American Indians, who they took the land from to begin with, and blacks who cleared the land as slaves for them back generations ago. So now that they're getting ready to give crumbs to minorities, they have ants in their pants. They didn't get concerned 4 years ago when the Trump administration did emergency payments to farmers, and 99%+ of it went to white farmers. I didn't hear about lawsuits then concerned that people of color was not getting money. Only when a little bit of money are provided to people of color do these white farmers suddenly get up and bothered about who's getting money and who's not. So I guess they want it all. And the other problem is that this is not going to help many of the black farmers. A lot of black farmers don't have USDA loans or guaranteed loans. They will not get money from this. So it's not that it's a 100% payment to all black farmers, just those that have loans with USDA. And there's another section that might deal with some of the other categories to some extent, but primarily it's those who have loans.
So when we, let's go to that larger picture of black farmers. And you know, earlier I talked about millions of acres lost in the lifetime, in the one generation between the time my father was born in 1940 and when I was born in 1973, the loss of millions of acres of black land. Can you tell me what we may need to do to bring some semblance of justice to that broader perspective?
Yeah, well, one of the things that's needed, this will help. And I don't like to discount this effort. This is the, I tell folks, this is the greatest effort to try to help some of the black farmers since the 64 Civil Rights Act, because it's important if when and it happens. And I want to hope that it will. So one of the things we can do is deal with the debt, and that would be done. Another thing is to deal with ways of getting getting black farmers more land. And there's a Justice for Black Farmer Act that's been introduced that would do that, would actually give 160 acres to black farmers, similar to what was done to white farmers back 100 years ago or so. So that would help some. And then we have to have money available to farmers, black farmers. And both black and white farmers operate with loans, operating loans, even if they don't have real estate loans. So you can't give a black farmer a loan in June and expect them to plant crops and make money. I purchased my soybeans last December and paid for them. So I end up getting the kind of beans I wanted, and I got a discount because I paid early. USDA has a tendency to give black farmers approval for their loans late. So if you're in May and you're still trying to get money to purchase your seed, you're going to lose money. So we got to get rid of some of that history. And I often state that really you need to reorganize USDA. I would get rid of the county committees, make all of the farm service agencies federal employees at all levels, and then hold them accountable for how they treat black farmers. So there's a lot of things need to be done. I'm going to wait to see this administration do it. They'll have to do better than they did in the first 8 years, because under Vilsack, he didn't do very much and may have done damage in the first 8 years. So he has a long ways to go if he's going to straighten some of that out.
Mr. Lloyd Wright is a farmer from Westmoreland County, Virginia, and former director of the USDA Civil Rights Office. Mr. Wright, thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
You're very welcome.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.